This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Yeah.
Not that Maggie.
On this Wednesday evening, McMonagle here with you. I got you till 2 o'clock. We got Rami on the other side taking your calls at 888-808-1019. We've made it. And no, I don't mean just the end of the Nets game or the end of a lousy Knicks game. We'll get to it. Russ was live in attendance at the Garden. We'll get to Russ and the reaction from so many about the Giants quarterback room. But we start with where we will begin. Tomorrow it begins, the baseball season. The season Met fans have been dying for. The season the Yankee fans have been dreading. At least it feels that way. There should be some more excitement for the New York Yankee fan. But as we sit here today, as the season's about to start, we get ready for a game at Yankee Stadium. Carlos Rodon starting for the Yankees. We'll get into him and how I think this is a big game for him, or at least maybe an indication of how his season goes, depending on how he handles said big game of opening day, being thrusted in that position after all of the injuries the Yankees have suffered and knowing all the big game failures he's had in his Yankee career. How does he show up on opening day? Does he feel good? Does he look good? Is he strutting his stuff the way he did in the first playoff game against Kansas City? But that's not the story, is it, as we get ready? It's both of these teams. where we are as we start this year that has been so highly anticipated, this year that's offseason has pitted both teams against each other as Juan Soto left the New York Yankees to sign with the New York Mets. Why? I don't know. There's about 35 different reasons why Juan Soto signed, and they're all documented over and over again, whether it's Sports Illustrated or whether it's documentaries run by the Mets or whether it's, you know, every different outlier, every different scenario plausible, whether it was, oh, it's not just the money, it's the family, it's this, it's that. Well, you know all the reasons, but here's the bottom line. And for all the talk about whether or not the Mets are big brother and the Yankee season and dealing with injuries, and I was listening today, as it is baseball preview time, and everyone gives you who they, how many games they think the Yankees are going to win, the Mets are going to win, where they'll finish in the division, do they have a chance at winning a championship, and I'll do all that as well, as we'll get into it, probably sometime in the 12 o'clock hour when we turn the clocks to actually opening day. We'll go through all that, we'll have some fun, I'll give you some over-unders, a couple of bold predictions, have a little fun as we get ready for the baseball season, but so much is done about big brother and little brother coming off of last year. Right, last year for the Mets, and I remember Jerry Seinfeld, of all people, saying it to me, how much fun last year was for the Mets. From being 11 games under 500, really starting the year with Stearns is officially now taking over for the New York Mets, downplaying the season a little bit. Yeah, sure, we're trying to compete, we're trying to this, but the rotation was extremely scary. You weren't sure what it was going to be. Kodai Senga gets hurt. You're not sure where the rotation is. Is the offense good enough? They're signing J.D. Martinez just days before the season starts. And there was very little anticipation for the Mets season. You know, a little bit of anticipation, but it was about next year. They already had Juan Soto on their minds at the beginning of next year. And you went through it, and you're 11 games under 500, and then you go on the run. You have the team meeting. Lindor obviously steps up as the leader of the team. Takes over, has a MVP caliber season. Leads the team all the way back. The rotation, the every move that Stearns made being the right one over the course of the year. The rotation being one of the best in baseball, the Mets having the best record in the second half of the season, leading through miracle after miracle, big home run after big home run, whether it's Lindor hitting the home run against Atlanta in the first game of the doubleheader, or obviously Alonso's home run against Milwaukee, and then, you know, Vientos just emerging as one of the bright young superstars, the power young superstars in the game, continuing that through the postseason, big home runs. Lindor with another home run against Philly, and ultimately just not good enough to take down the big, bad Los Angeles Dodgers. But what an incredible run. And you put that against the way the Yankees, with Juan Soto, the whole year the Yankee fans aren't happy. They didn't go all in on the 1 year they had Juan Soto. All in wasn't enough. They should have done more. The team wasn't good enough. They floundered kind of through July and August, and we were frustrated. But ultimately, we knew they were the best team in the American League. And so when they go through the American League, no one seems to give a damn. Oh, it's just the American League Central. Oh, it's just the Kansas City Royals. Oh, it's just the Cleveland Guardians. Anyone could beat those guys. They get to the World Series, and many Yankee fans feel embarrassed after the fifth inning. The Yankees aren't good at baseball. That's the message coming out of the Los Angeles Dodgers, where they're sipping tequila on podcasts, or where they're talking trash in interviews, whatever the case may be. Everyone and their mother associated with the Dodgers ranking on the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge is a meme, dropping the ball on New Year's Eve. Like, just all of it. Add that to losing Juan Soto, and now we get ready for these two seasons. And yes, the Met season is supposed to be special. The Yankee season, off of everything I just mentioned, including the pivots they made and bringing in Max Fried and transitioning to maybe a deeper overall lineup with a lot less power in the middle without Juan Soto and better defensively and everything. And we get ready for this season, and we look at both of these teams, and here it is. And here's what we'll say as we get ready for it. For me, this is now, if we're going to talk about Big Brother, and I've shied away from this conversation because I think ultimately it's not about the Yankees and the Mets, but if they don't compete, they're not in the same division. They're going to play six times this year. It's not so much about that. Once the games play and they start, no one's going to care about why Juan Soto's a Met. Juan Soto's just going to be a Met, and you're going to go about competing in a very difficult division with the Phillies and the Braves, and dealing with all the teams in the National League West and the Dodgers, who are going to win 120 games and all that, and it goes away. But if you want to be Big Brother, if you want to talk about owning the city the way Brandon Nimmo has, or have some comments about you don't know the future of the New York Yankees as Juan Soto has, or even Lindor on with BT and Sal, who are going to be live from Yankee Stadium tomorrow for opening day, and him talking about being the best team in baseball and all the anticipation and all the expectations with this team. Well, you wanted it. Here it is. Because I remember Jerry Seinfeld telling me it's never going to be better than this year. It's never going to be more fun. And if you look at it, these two teams right now, there's actually, whether there's a big brother, little brother dynamic shift, there is a little bit of a shift on what expectations can bring and what kind of season the fans can get behind. Because honestly, there's nothing for the Mets to do but win the whole damn thing. Last year, there's no falling behind and have a nice little season. There's no surprising anyone. There's not in sitting back and enjoying what a wonderful ride it was. Or if they lose in the NLCS, wanting to gather up the groups and go to Citi Field and applaud them as they walk out carrying their boxes of cleats and gloves and everything else. This is it. You want to be Big Brother? Welcome to it, because today, or tomorrow now, at 4 p.m. against the Houston Astros, the season starts and there are no fun stories. Right? And we can forget all about the Cohen family and how welcoming they are and how enticing they are to other, you know, Winker desperately wants to be here. Obviously, Soto chose this over anything else. It wasn't the millions and millions of dollars. It was the landscape of the Mets and how family-oriented they are. And Pete Alonso would have sold his soul to stay with the New York Mets. Wouldn't even entertain going anywhere else. This is the place to be. That all goes out the window. No one cares. This is about this team, this pitching staff, who they really haven't invested a lot of money into. They believe in their pitching lab right now. Can they get that same kind of season last year? Because if they don't, it's not just like, well, you know, listen, wow, what a nice little season from Manaea. I mean, I didn't see that coming. What a great year. Or, hey, they turned Luis Severino around. What a career. What a year after, you know, not being able to pitch or being injured. Like, there are no nice stories anymore. There's no more fun. There's no more feed up and watch a season and hope it goes well. The New York Mets are right up there with every other big team in baseball. They are the Yankees. They are the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's who they are. They have the second highest payroll in the sport. They have the richest owner. They have this farm system where they can go out at the deadline and make improvements to the team. You could see them add to the rotation, certainly. Right, they've got a couple of pieces to decide. They have one roster spot left, and we'll get into that too, all the different things that go on between both rosters right now as it's not finalized as we head into tomorrow. But ultimately, as I look at the Met fan who's been desperate, desperate to take claim of this city, to have this moment, to get it back for the first time since 1986, right? You want this so bad you can taste it. You took Juan Soto away from the New York Yankees. You've got the better team. The Yankees are in disarray, right? They're dealing with injuries. Their farm system is in the bottom half of the league. The future isn't bright enough where Juan Soto, who wanted to sign a 15-year contract, took the Mets' future, took the Mets' owner, took the Mets' situation because the Mets are better. And this Mets season is supposed to be special. And this group now, where really you could look at the Yankees and say they're kind of in flux, right? They're depending on a lot of young kids, sure. And if those answers are positive, maybe you see a core of a team being built. But there's a lot of one-year contracts on this team. First baseman's a one-year contract. Bellinger's a one-year contract. You know, a lot of, you know, who knows about the young kids? If Volpe doesn't perform, is he still the starting, guaranteed starting shortstop moving forward? There's a lot in flux. The closer is on a one-year deal. A lot of the rotation is kind of being, obviously thrusted up after the injuries. And you're not counting on Marcus Stroman moving forward. You know, you're not counting on Carrasco moving forward. So much of the pitching depth inside the organization has been traded away over the last handful of years. So, like, between whether or not some young kids are going to step up or whether or not guys are going to opt out or there's going to be a lot of one-year contracts, this team could look dramatically different next year. Sure, you'll have Judge and hopefully Cole back from injury, and that window of the Cole Judge thing will still kind of be in the presence of people's minds. But this Met thing is just getting started. This is year two of Stern stepping in year one was kind of, you know, listen, we'll take our chances. We'll see what this rotation does. We think the lineup can be good enough. And it started off terrible, and then you went on a run for the ages that you'll never forget. But now he's been here for a year. He's stabilized the franchise. He's made the same kind of decisions with the rotation, but now they're his, and it's about winning. And you've got Juan Soto. You've got a lineup that has as much power with Vientos establishing himself as any this side of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's time to go win. That's it. So if you look at it, you could make a case for the Yankee fan who's down in the dumps watching every single person on TV or on the radio talking about, well, you know, maybe they could win 90 games, they could win 78 games. There's just no telling where the Yankees are right now, where the Mets, sure, they're in a tough division. Sure, they play in the National League, but the expectations are through the roof. And there are no more fun seasons. And if you want to be that team, if you're desperate like Nimmo is to be the team of the city, if you expect the New York Mets to be the franchise that best embodies New York, that all the free agents want to come to, that are run better and smarter and spend their money wisely, and by the way, have more money to spend, all of that is fun, all of that is nice, all of that goes away at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and all that matters is the performance on the field. And as much fun as last year was, let me tell you, as a fan of the quote-unquote big brother for the last 30 years, it's fun when you have parades. Other than that, it's a lot of pressure. Other than that, it's mostly relief. Other than that, it's bitter disappointment. And I know the Met fan has dealt with bitter disappointment and dead seasons and being mocked by their Yankee fan friends, but it's another thing to claim you're the man all offseason. Claim you're the team all offseason. And then you go on a 5-game losing streak. And then you have a month where you don't perform. And then you're 5 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. And suddenly, you're in a spot where you can't be the team that, the little engine that could, that is going to overcome the obstacles. There are no obstacles. There's nothing in your way that should prevent you from winning a championship that isn't just baseball, or isn't something that's been manifested, or isn't something that you shouldn't be able to overcome because your owner is the richest and the baddest and the most friendly, and your GM is the smartest and the youngest and the most handsome. So this is it, Met fans. You wanted this year? Welcome aboard. Because I don't know about big brother, little brother, but they're sitting at the same table now, that's for sure. And despite the fact the Mets have had the highest payroll for a long time, it hasn't been expectations like this. And there might have been in 23 when they fell on their face after the 22 season, but this is different. Juan Soto, this lineup, this executive, this team, all the talk all season long about how well run the franchise is, they're in the right footing, the farm system, everything, where they'll be over the next handful of years, they're in better standing. Even Nimmo, he's not hiding from it. He's out full force, full front, saying, we want to be the best team in this city. We want to be the destination where people go. Season tickets are already sold out, through the roof. This is the year of expectation. This is the year where you make that move. This is the year you become the big brother. Because even if you're saying it, you know it doesn't happen in the winter. You know it doesn't happen in spring. It happens in the dog days of summer. And the journey begins at 4 o'clock tomorrow. And I hope you're ready for it. And for Yankee fans, it's a little bit different where you could see a little bit of joy. You could have that upstart season. Now, the expectations are always World Series or bust. That won't change. But the expectations around baseball, the expectations around this fan base, the dealing with the injury, they have a nice little season and get some answers from a bunch of young kids. There can be a fun season to be had for the New York Yankees. This team should be a little bit more athletic, a little bit younger, a little bit faster than teams we've seen, a little bit better at baseball, quote unquote, which I'm sick of hearing over and over again. They have an opportunity to win, have a fun season, especially in a down American League where I still think they're the favorites to win the American League. They are the betting favorites to win the American League, and I still think they're the best team in the American League. Both teams on the same footing, expectations a little bit different, and the Met fans who enjoyed their season so much last year are in a whole new world. 888-808-1019. And it starts tomorrow. We'll get to Russ. We'll take your calls on baseball. I don't understand how many people are confused with what the Giants are doing. It's not that complicated. We'll get to that as well. The Knicks with a disappointing loss, but kind of feel like just in a holding pattern until they get their superstar back after a loss to the Clippers. We get it all rolling. McMonagle filling in for Keith. I got you all the way to 2 o'clock. We open with baseball. We'll have a little fun as well. We'll go through all. I'll give you a couple over-unders. We'll go through the Met and Yankee over-unders, a couple bold predictions, find out where we feel like they're going to end the season. You guys can always call me with yours as well at 888-808-1019. We'll come back right after the update. McMonagle here with you, rolling with you till 2 a.m. right here on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good call. A little baseball music all day. This leads me to the story. I have to tell it now. I've told it before on the air, but it's my favorite opening day stories of all time. So it's opening day 2009. First opening day at the new Yankee Stadium. And I'm sitting with my buddy. And if you want to call me up with your favorite opening day, it's opening day. Opening day is the my favorite holiday of the year. So if you want to call me up at 888-808-1019 with some of your favorite opening day stories, we could do that. But so it's 2009, opening day at the new Yankee Stadium. CeCe Sabathia on the mound against the Cleveland Indians at the time. I'm sitting in the right field porch. And it was a beautiful day. It was a just glorious day. It was warm. It was sunny. It was a perfect opening day weather. The game didn't go great, but who cares? The season worked out just fine. But I'm sitting in the stands, and a guy in front of me is ordering a hot dog from the hot dog vendor. It's pregame. The festivities are still going on. And he, you know, the hot dog vendor is standing there. He's got the, you know, the strap, so he's like wearing it on his shoulders, and he's making the hot dog. And then all of a sudden, that very song kicks in, and John Fogerty is performing it live in the outfield. And I swear to you, mid-making a hot dog for someone, this hot dog vendor screams at the top of his lungs, "Good Lord, it's Fogerty!" And he drops, he takes it off of his shoulder, and puts the hot dog, you know, whatever, machine, whatever you want to call it, the hot dog warmer, down on the ground and makes a beeline for the wall to get a better look at John Fogerty. He just left his hot dogs there. We could have all went through and had free hot dogs. He screamed at the top of his lungs, "Good Lord, it's Fogerty!" Dropped the hot dogs and ran for the wall. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Me and my buddy still say to each other, "Good Lord, it's Fogerty." It was the
in coach. I'm ready to play.
Good Lord, it's Fogerty. Free hot dogs for everyone. That is a true story. That was a great opening day. The new ballpark. And, you know, and also, you know, side note, I'm so sick of everyone hating on the new Yankee Stadium. The new Yankee Stadium is awesome. All right? Forget you all. This is my Yankee Stadium. I've been here probably more than I went to the old one. I know the old one was great. I'm not knocking it. But this stadium is freaking awesome. And Citi Field is incredible too. I think both stadiums did a great job. As Russell Wilson was sending pictures of the broken air conditioner that is MetLife Stadium, like both of these stadiums are great. Yankee Stadium's great when it's rocking, it rocks. All right, maybe the overhang with the upper deck isn't the same. I don't care. I'm so tired of people knocking Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium's awesome. You can all go stick it. But I'm ready for opening day. I can't wait. I'm ready to have my best friend back. Every day. Every single day. Best friend's with me in the car when I have to go to the supermarket real quick, or out in the backyard when I'm pulling out weeds, or watching my wife pull out weeds and go, "Yeah, you missed one over there." every night. You know exactly what you're doing. The Yankee game's on, the Met game's on. It's the best. Baseball is by far the best. You can get closer and more connected if you are a diehard fan of every sport. Say you're a diehard fan of the Knicks, you're a diehard fan of the Rangers or Islanders, you're a diehard fan of the Jets and Giants. You can love those sports, and that could be your favorite team. I'm not saying that's not the case. Football is amazing. The sport of football is incredible. Love football. But if you are a diehard baseball fan, I think you are more connected to your team as a baseball fan than any other, because they play every single night, and it's the most individualized sports team that there is. Yes, the quarterback is as important as any position in sports. And yes, you know, a hot goalie could take you through the Stanley Cup Finals. But baseball, it is the pitcher versus the hitter in a chess match that we watch over and over and over again. You know your players. You know their faces. Every night's a post-game. You know, you hear from them every day. There are results every single day. It's not once a week. It's not once every 3 days. It's every single day. That's what I love about baseball. I love the 162. I cringe when people say it should be shortened. I cringe. 888-808-1019. So as we get ready for baseball, as we get ready for opening day, and again, tomorrow live at Yankee Stadium, BT and Sal will be doing their midday show live from Yankee Stadium. 10 o'clock, they will have Aaron Boone on. 10:15, they will have Mr. Andy Pettitte, who is throwing out the ceremonial first pitch at Yankee Stadium. Should be fun. And for me, I kind of feel like this is, we have to be fair, Yankee fans, right? We just have to be fair. I'm pumped for the Yankee season. I expect big things. We'll get into expectations and projections and predictions later. But right now, it kind of just feels like this is a, you know, big season for the Mets with big expectations. They're making, you know, they have their left fielder is making demands about taking over the city. We know how the fan base feels. God knows the Met fan is out there taking this for everything it's worth. The Juan Soto thing has really emboldened them. They love this owner. They believe in the GM. There are high expectations coming off of last year, and heavy lies the crown. So here it is. Get ready for it. Because this really feels like the first time. They've had good teams. They've had winning teams. They've had teams projected to do well. They went to the World Series in 2015. They went to the, you know, they 99-2000. That Piazza team was very good. Like, 06 was a good team. Now, a lot of those years, unfortunately, follow with 07, which is a disaster, or, you know, the 99-2000, then not much for a while. 2016, you make it to the wild card, and that's the end of that, and then it takes forever to get back to the playoffs. But, like, right now, it feels like everything's set in place. It's year 5 of this owner. It's year 2 of this GM. You just signed the largest contract in the history of North American sports. You took him away from the Yankees. You did something no one else has ever done, stolen a free agent away from the Yankees when they were interested in him. High expectations. Coming off an incredibly fun, wonderful year that's one of the better ones in Met history. And that all gets all of that noise, that's what it is at 4 o'clock today. Or 4 o'clock tomorrow, rather. Then it just becomes the backdrop of can they go out and accomplish it. And heavy lies the crown. Because there are no fun stories. There is no getting behind this team. And, oh, man, hey, they came from 11 under. What a great year. No more great years. Win the World Series or it's a terrible one. Welcome aboard. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Tommy, in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Chris, our day is here.
The day has finally come.
I want to wish you well as one Met fan or a Yankee fan. You're my buddy. I wish you well this year.
Well, thank you, Tommy. I wish you well.
I sincerely mean it, and I hope that the Yankee fans don't drive you to drink this year. And I can't wait to when's the first phone call of Boone and Mendoza blew it with a bullpen move? I'm waiting for that. That's a great. That's going to happen in the first series.
Oh, yeah,
he lost the game today. I can't wait to hear that. Real quick, I don't have a problem with what Nimmo said. Nimmo said he liked to be known as the best team. I would think everybody in each organization would think the
completely
same thing.
Agree.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I'm psyched about it. I agree with you. This is the year with the Mets. This is the year. And real quick, I know you got a lot of people to get to. I know it's a little early in it, but I'm going with, I did it tonight, real quick. I like Pittsburgh under, Cleveland over. Yeah, I like Pittsburgh under. 76, I looked at their roster, only in schemes. Well, and you know if they're out of it, they're going to limit this kid.
Yeah.
They're not winning 76 games.
No, you might be right. The Cleveland over was the one. I don't know about Cleveland this year, but every time I doubt them, they end up having a pretty good year. But I think... I don't know why off the playoff, it's probably unfair, but I feel like Class A is bound to have a down year of some kind and not be as good as he was. Plus, they're relying on guys coming back from injury in the rotation. They lost Naylor at first base. I mean, they still have Ramirez. They still have Kwan. They still have a pretty good team in a down central, no doubt. I'll give you some of the over-unders. Neither of those are part of mine. I actually found it a lot easier to find overs than unders this year. I found a bunch of overs. I'm trying to find a couple more overs, but unders, rather. But I found a bunch of overs I like. But Pittsburgh has some pretty good starting pitching. Again, the National League Central, I would look at the Reds, because I'll tell you this right now. Terry Francona is, in my mind, I know, you know, Bruce Bochy's there, and he just won a championship again last year. Terry Francona, in my mind, is the best manager in baseball. So I think the Reds have a young upstart team. They got Ellie De La Cruz. You know, they lost India, but I do think that they have enough there offensively to have a somewhat productive season, and I just think they're going to get complete buy-in from Terry Francona. I think him alone is worth, and mostly, and I don't often say this about managers, Terry Francona could be a 10 to 12 game difference. Like, that's how much I think of Terry Francona. So we'll get through the over and unders, though. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Chris? Quickly on the Yankees before I get to Soto.
Mm-hmm.
Generally with the Yankees, it's going to be always about the stars. You think that, you know, and I think it goes without saying that, you know, if Judge gets hurt or whatever, then they're not the same team.
No, that's the only death knell, I think, for the Yankees. I think they can almost recover from anything else and at least be a playoff team in this American League. The only thing that is a non-starter, if that happens, good. I can't imagine it, is Judge. Other than that, honestly, almost anyone, including Fried, like almost anyone else, I think that they'll at least compete to be a playoff team, no matter how bad it is. But Judge would be the death knell.
Well, yeah, and my point about the Yankees, I think, though, with this year, the difference between them being an 88-89 win team and maybe a 93-94 win team,
mm-hmm,
is actually the young players. What do you get at? Is Jason Dominguez going to be a positive contributor?
Mm-hmm.
Is Ben Rice going to hit enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Can you get Will Warren to be a solid back end of the rotation starter for you? I think that that's the difference between them being a good team, playoff team, and them being a, you know, mid-90s kind of win team.
Yeah.
And then on to Soto. I've seen this too many times with, especially with A-Rod, and even if you want to go back to Piazza when he came over. Let me ask you a question. You're probably, since you're not a Mets fan, I probably should ask a Mets fan, but if Soto was to play every day and hit 35 home runs, bat 285,
mm-hmm,
and give you like a 950 ops, would you think that that was, did he have a good season? Do you think Mets fans would be happy with that, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. A 950 OPS? If he has a 950 OPS, hits 35 home runs, hits 285, I mean, that's kind of like the limit of what you're hoping, but I don't think it's like, Juan Soto had an incredible year, but you can't be disappointed with a 950 OPS.
Okay, well, I picked those numbers because that is exactly his 162-game average.
Yeah.
But when you sign a contract like mm-hmm he signed, and this is the A-Rod situation and this is the Mike Piazza situation, when you come in like that, it is very hard for you to live up to the expectations.
Yes.
You know, with the fans. The fans are going to expect you. And he had a career year last year for the Yankees. He hasn't been that player over the course of his career. He hasn't been. He's a 6-win player. He's not an 8-win player.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just think that it's going to be that Mets fans will probably, it's going to be the same situation like it was with the Yankee fans and A-Rod. A-Rod came over here and had a pretty typical A-Rod season, and Yankee fans were killing him. So
yeah,
I just think,
I don't know if it was a tip. I mean, and thank you for the call, Steve. I get what you're saying, But I think you would be, again, the money is so ridiculous that nobody lives up to that money. Like, we all know that, right? In the back of our minds, we could say that he's worth the contract because, one, he got it. And, two, it's just money. Steve Cohen has it. I mean, we could all say he's worth the money. And I, as a Yankee fan, I'll tell you right now, I would have given him the exact same contract. I have no problem with the contract. I'm not trying to say the Mets overpaid for him. They paid what they needed to get him. God bless him. They did everything they should have. He's worth every penny. But I think as we say that, in the back of our minds, we know no one's worth $750. How do you justify being worth $750 million? Like, I don't think he has to hit some sort of Barry Bonds circa 2002, 2001, 2003 sort of level to justify a $750 million contract. I think he just needs to be his average self, because his average self is a Hall of Famer. Like, you meant those are his average 162. You do that for 10 years, you're in the Hall of Fame. Those are spectacular numbers you just gave up. In today's day and age of batting average being where it is, to hit .285, to hit 35 home runs, and to have a .950 OPS, that is an elite level offensive season. I think that's enough. Now, it depends. It's about how they win games. They're not like, you know, the reason why everyone was on Alex Rodriguez wasn't the regular season, is that he was his first year there, they had the collapse to the Red Sox, and then he was bad in the postseason. It wasn't necessarily about his everyday. I mean, he won two MVPs for the Yankees in 05 and 07. People didn't like A-Rod because of some of the stuff he did off the field, and, you know, getting caught with a blonde in Toronto, or, you know, kissing the mirror in a stupid magazine layout, or, you know, sunbathing in Central Park and all that stuff. That was easy to make fun of him for. But ultimately, it was about he wasn't doing it in the postseason, which is the same thing we're getting from Judge now. The difference is Judge was homegrown, and, you know, Judge has been the one guy of an era without a lot of superstars, where he came over to a team that just went to the World Series in 03 and had won, you know, three in a row and been to five out of six. You know, so it was a different thing. But I think Juan Soto is going to have a great year, because that's what Juan Soto does. And then it'll come down to how much they win and if they win in the postseason, or whether or not the Met fans will be happy with him. But they'll see warts. There's always warts. You know, he's not a perfect player. He's not great in the outfield. He's gonna have a bad outfield day. He's going to have a bad error that I don't know if it necessarily cost them a game, but cost them runs. You know, we'll see. There'll be moments. He'll go through a slump. Like, he wasn't perfect all year long with the Yankees last year. He went through a couple of weeks there where he wasn't always at the top of his game. But ultimately, he's a great player. And if he puts up his, and that's what makes him worth $750 million. His average season is a spectacular one. I don't think, if any Met fan wants to call me and complain about a 35 home run, 950 OPS season, we're going to have words, because I don't know how the hell you could complain about that. Dominic in North Carolina. What's up, Dom?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I got to say, I completely disagree with you.
Okay.
You're imposing a Yankee fan's worldview on Met fans. Now, I will say,
I mean, if you say so, I don't know what's going on in North Carolina, but I am inundated, both phone calls and social media with Met fans, including the left fielder, who are talking.
Social media. No, yeah. I grew up in Brooklyn. I will say Met fans of a certain vintage. I'm 60 years old.
Okay.
And I will also say a lot of people who are Met fans now are front runners. They were Patriots fans 6 years ago. Then they were Kansas City Chiefs fans. Okay.
Maybe.
So I'm talking about real Met fans. And real Met fans understand that life is pain and suffering, and that every now and then you get a little break from it and you have some joy and you have gratitude for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the Met fans' worldview.
I think
you should have Summers on one night to explain it to you.
No, I understand it, and I could have Joe Beningo on to explain it to me as well. But I think I think that's a minority on some level, where I think Steve Cohen and the power of him in last year and signing Juan Soto. You don't think the optimism of the Mets? You think the Met fan, the average Met fan?
We've been optimistic before. We were optimistic in '85.
We
lost in that epic series to the Cardinals.
Optimism doesn't guarantee victories. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think there are seasons, even after good years or teams that have had, you know, some level of success waiting for them. A lot of Met fans would go into the year waiting for the other shoe to drop because that's the life of a Met fan, as you just said. I don't think that's the case this year. I think most Met fans, I think the majority of Met fans are heading into the season with high optimism and expectations, and they don't think they're going to be let down.
While looking over their shoulder and waiting for the shoe to drop.
And yeah, I don't think they are.
And if we don't win, like Syndergaard said, we'll put our hearts back in our chest, and it'll heal in time for next year. Real Met fans are the heirs to the Dodger fans. We'll wait till next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, of course, you're going to wait till next year. It's what everyone does. I had my guts ripped out. I'm not kidding. 2 days after the World Series, I honestly was wondering if I would get to where I am today. For the first time in my life, I was wondering if I was really going to get amped up for next season. I was so just exhausted from that run. All the I was so upset with the fifth inning. I mean, I was really wondering if I was going to be able to get up for the season. And you do, of course. Like, you find ways to do it. So I'm not saying that the Met fan, if they don't win the World Series this year, has to hide or, you know, wear a bag over their head or anything. No. What I'm saying is last year was a lot of fun. Last year came out of nowhere. Last year was just an amazing ride. And even though it ended losing in six to the Dodgers, almost all Met fans were like, wow, what a ride. What a great year. Just unbelievable. Thank you, Mets. Thank you. That's gone. That doesn't exist anymore. That can't happen. There will not be a world where they lose in six in the NLCS and the season will be, oh, well, thank you for that wonderful ride. That's not going to be the case. Now there's expectations and you have to meet them. Otherwise, it's a failure. That's what being, you know, big brother or having these expectations are. I'm telling you, I don't think there are years where the Met fan is waiting for impending doom and waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't think most Met fans right now are feeling that way. I think Stearns and I think the owner has shifted their feeling on what to expect from the team. I think most Met fans are optimistic and expect to win. Maybe not the World Series, but expect to have a good year. But what I'm saying is right now, and it goes the same for the Yankees, even though they're in slightly different position right now, they have to win. Otherwise, it's a failure. Last year was a rousing success. There's only one way to have a success now, and that's win the championship, win the World Series. That's it. That's the only way to have success for the Mets right now. Everything else is levels of failure. And it's a, you know, I remember Jerry told me. I really wish I would have had a chance to get Jerry back on. Maybe I will. I got to ask Rosenberg. Jerry even said he didn't want Juan Soto. Like, last year was so much fun that once you spend $750 million on Juan Soto, then that fun can't be had again. And Jerry recognized it, and that's why he said he didn't want him, because he wants the option to lose and have fun. Well, you don't have that option anymore. Sorry. The lose and still have fun is over. The nice little story that is the New York Mets rallying from 11 games under, and they could find themselves in the same position for whatever reason. They could be 11 games under 500 for whatever reason. I don't expect it. I'm not wishing for it. I'm just saying they could be in the same boat they were in last year and make the same kind of climb. It won't be as fun. Because falling 11 games under 500 with this team is a disaster. Climbing out is what you should be doing. There is no more like, oh, shucks, what a great year. Now it's, you better be in the World Series or it's a failure. Enjoy. 888, and it is, it's a privilege. It took 5 years to get here for this owner, but right now, especially bringing back Alonso on top of it, when everybody thought he was gone and most Met fans were kind of coming to grips with that idea and being okay with it. But you get Juan Soto, you bring back Alonso, you have this, you know, they found Vientos. I think the Met fan right now is through the roof ecstatic, getting ready for the season with high expectations and not waiting for the other shoe to drop, because this is a different run team with a different owner and a different GM who are rich and smart. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with more of your phone calls next on The Fan.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Play ball!
Nick Monaco here with you on The Fan. I'll come up with some of my personal favorite baseball. I don't know this one.
It's a little of both. The Chiefs, Alabama. Our
ball club may be I don't know it. But at least
it's Triple A. Are there a lot of baseball songs that you do know?
Well, there are songs I associate with baseball that don't
YMCA.
Necessarily. No, I don't even associate YMCA with baseball.
Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman, yeah, I guess. No, I'm to like songs from movies.
Right. So that's what.
Just like the natural song, the theme. This used to be my playground by Madonna. Remember that? From the end credits of arguably, in my mind, one of the greatest baseball movies of all time, A League of Their Own. But yeah, no, they're just songs that remind me of baseball, that were in movies that were playing baseball, not necessarily, you know, straight up like, you know, I didn't hit the cutoff, man. Like, you know, I don't need necessarily like exactly
right. You don't
like
need the
on the nose baseball.
Yes.
Like put yeah, you know, like center field is a on the nose baseball song. You don't need
right,
on the nose.
But it's also in every single baseball movie.
No, absolutely, yeah.
I guess movie themes work too, like the Moneyball themes from obviously Field of Dreams.
Right. Right. And then even after, you know, the way I love Sandlot, even America the Beautiful by Ray Charles reminds me of baseball.
Right.
So there's a lot of
Sandlot movies are excellent.
Oh, I've never seen the other one. There's only one Sandlot. There's other Sandlots?
Yes.
I've never seen them.
Meaning there's multiple movies.
I've never seen them.
You've seen the one, the original?
The Sandlot. Yeah, that's it. The Sandlot 2?
Yeah, there's multiple movies.
I've never seen any of them. I didn't even know they existed until you just said that. It's okay. I just know The Sandlot. I'm sure they did, like, you know, crappy, you know, reversions of it or whatever. It wasn't with the same kids, I don't think.
No, obviously. It was years later.
Yeah.
Yes.
888-808-1019. Let's go to limo driver Ed. What's up, Ed?
All right, my brother. Yes, opening day.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen, the only thing I do, listen, the only thing I say before I get to my Mets real quick, my Miracle Mets, as I was saying last year, you know, that Judge, it's going to be on his back, man. He's got to carry the team. I don't want to see him rolling eyes at players. He's got to step up. Big time.
Rolling eyes at players? Okay, what does that mean?
Well, you know, last year when the guys was, he was at bat and he was trying to get the guys to focus and do what they had to do.
Oh.
He was rolling and looking at them all. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Well, he's got to be the captain.
Well, now this year with all the injuries, because it's hard to come back on injuries like this, bro. I understand what you talk, but you guys got a lot of injuries right now.
Just to the pitching staff, really.
Well, you know, but listen, we're going to see what happens. But I tell you one thing is Judge got to put the team on the back.
But you make it sound like it's never happened. He hasn't done it in the postseason, but Judge consistently. Look at the 2022 Yankees and tell me Judge didn't put the team on his back.
This is what he does.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, disagree with you, but you're making it sound like it's time for Judge to finally put the team on his back. Judge puts the team on his back. And I know he had Juan Soto as a partner last year, but he had the better year, and he won the MVP. And in 22, he carried the team. Absolutely carried them. You look at 2023 even. When he's there, they're in Los Angeles, taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, 10 games up, 10 games over 500, and looking like a playoff team. And then he goes down, and we saw what they were. Like, we could get on him for the postseason. That's fair. It's out there. He's had bad go of it in the postseason, particularly 22 and 24. No doubt about it. Miserable, awful, god awful. But you can't call up and say it's time for Judge to finally put the team on his back. He puts the team on his back constantly. Like, I have no fear of that. That's what Judge does. Judge is going to have a monster. If Judge is healthy, he's going to win the MVP again. I mean, that's it. If Judge is healthy and plays 158 games, he's going to win the MVP again. because he's the best hitter in the league. Now, hey, could they be tired of giving it to Judge? And, you know, maybe, obviously, everyone loves Bobby Witt Jr., so do I. If the Royals win that division and Witt Jr. has a great year, could I see him winning the MVP, playing shortstop every day? Maybe. Right? If the Orioles win the division, could Gunnar Henderson be MVP? Maybe, but I'm telling you, if Judge is healthy, he's going to mash, and he's going to win the MVP again. It's just a matter of staying healthy. Let's go to Moose in Jamaica. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, brother?
How are you? Good evening. Chilling. So, yeah, I was about to say, to reiterate the amazingness of Judge. Mind you, the season he had in 24.
Yeah.
Remember what he said in spring training just before the season? Because of what happened in 23, what was it, his left big toe, not his right big toe, yeah, will never be the same again, and we'll have to constantly need to any that season.
It's always, it's something he's going to have to monitor for maybe his whole career. Just be on top of, make sure he keeps it, you know, wrapped, or, you know, if, you know, he's got to, he might have to monitor it and keep getting it medical attention throughout his career. Yeah.
And he had that season. So put it in pen. Another MVP.
I think if your point is that injury, even despite the idea that he's going to have to live with it, isn't something that hampers him, clearly last year proved that. That is correct. It's not like you go into this year thinking, well, I mean, hopefully his toe is okay. No, the toe's good.
Yeah, obviously. And he had that season. It's just amazingness of Judge. He's still not a player, but it crushes a lot. So the point of my call. The Giants. To switch topics for a hot second.
That's okay.
The Brian Daboll quarterback whisperer fixing quarterbacks, sending them to a path of ascension. The prospects of him doing that with either Jameis and or Russell to possibly win 8 to 10 games with a better defense and more weapons post draft, and also the possibility, I want you to comment on that, and also the possibility if Shador or Cam were to slip to 3, the likelihood, you've been saying it's not out the realm of possibility for them drafting at 3.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let me answer. Moose. I appreciate it. All right. The likelihood of winning 8 to 10 games with Wilson and Winston, unlikely, but possible. Possible. I actually, you know, I've talked about this for a while. I prefer Jameis Winston on the field. I thought Russ, and we'll get into it in a little bit, I thought Russ sounded extremely, I thought he came off extremely good yesterday in the press conference. I mean, he did his homework on the Giants. He was talking about all the different players. He was referencing third down plays against Washington. He's done some research. He knows the players. He knows the room. Like, he's excited to be there. I thought he came off great. I did. Now, that's just the press conference, and who gives a damn? But I thought Russ came off great. And I think that this team is better than people think. I think they can be better defensively. I do. I think they can be better defensively, and I think they have weapons offensively if they could just get some kind of quarterback play. So 8 to 10 is probably, at the absolute limit, that's pie in the sky, the best they could possibly do, but it's possible. And then as far as what happens at the draft, I do think they're going to be better than people's think. I am seeing that the Giants over-under, and we're going to do over-unders in the baseball a little bit, I'm seeing the Giants over-under at 3.5. I am pounding that. Pounding it. It is hard to win 3 games. It's hard to be that bad. They're going to win 4 games next year. If I saw that correctly, and that is, I'll double check it in the break. If that is an over-under for the Giants at 3.5, I'm pounding the over. They're going to win 4 games. But then the other question is, if Shador Sanders is there at 3, I think they absolutely take him. If Shador Sanders is sitting there for them to pick at 3, I'm almost certain that will be the pick. They will take Shador at 3 if he's available. Now, if he's not, I don't know what they'll do. I would think they would take Carter or Hunter and then try and work their way back into the first, or take a quarterback in the second round. But I am
I feel pretty strongly in saying if Shedeur Sanders is available at three, that will be the Giants pick, because I don't understand it if not. And I want to get into the Giant thing again. I know we did a lot on it yesterday, but I am baffled by the amount of people who are like laughing at the Giants right now, or don't understand, like, oh, what a joke. Look at this quarterback room. Look at the quarterback. It's the best one they've had in like 7 years. And if you don't understand the idea of just, you know, getting two quarterbacks to fill out the roster for $14 million when Daniel Jones got $14 million to go to the Colts, Fields got more money to go to the Jets. Like, they were able to get two good deals for two quarterbacks, and if one goes down, they have the other. It's not complicated. I love a bunch of different guys. Like, Adam Schein is just screaming that the Giants are a joke. I don't understand. I mean, they are a joke, but why this decision's what crystallized it for you, I'll never know. 888-808-1019. Quick break. More of your calls. We'll come right back after a short break, and then we'll get to midnight where we'll have a lot more time. We'll do some picks. I'll give you some over-unders around the league, as well as the over and under for the New York Yankees and Mets. A couple of bold predictions and how I see the season going. So we got plenty of fun on a baseball Wednesday into Thursday opening day. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back. Take your calls next.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Comes set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, Major League. The montage going around the city of Cleveland. Bom, bom. All right, baseball's back. Let's go. Let's get to the calls as quickly as we can here. Only a few minutes before the top. We'll do more baseball on the other side, too. Don't worry about it. It's a baseball kind of night. My favorite kind of night. Leading into the baseball kind of day. Opening day tomorrow. Yankees at 3. Carlos Rodon throwing the first pitch of the season. Or I guess they threw pitches in Japan, but you know what I mean. And followed by the Mets at 4 o'clock against the Houston Astros out in Houston. 888-808-1019. Ben in Connecticut. What's up, Ben?
Hey, C-Mac. Great to talk to you, man, especially on one of the best nights of the year, opening day eve.
Let's go.
First of all, on your point about Yankee Stadium, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the things I really like about the new Yankee Stadium is, if nothing else, it's clear where you are. Right, it's actually not a cookie-cutter ballpark. It is very clear you're in Yankee Stadium when you're there. The facade is all around. Even at the old stadium, the facade was only in the outfield. I love how it's all around. And anyway, that's one great thing about the stadium.
I love Yankee Stadium. I think it's gotten way too much flack. I think it's a great ballpark. I think it's big. It's grand. It's beautiful. The crowd does get loud. The idea that it doesn't get loud there, all right, you know, it gets plenty loud there. I can't remember. You want to make the argument it got louder in the old stadium? Sure. But it gets, I mean, I've been in this ballpark when it rocks. I mean, it was rocking when Volpe hit that grand slam. It rocks.
Absolutely. I just wanted to kind of echo some of your comments about baseball in general. It's funny, when I was telling your producer what I was going to say, and then it was exactly what you ended up saying, but it was... you know, essentially, the fact that, first of all, there's 162 games in 180 days. It's a companion all the time, which is so unique and fantastic.
Yep.
Another thing that I love about baseball is, so the other sports, you know, what makes them very popular is that any great NBA game or NFL game, like, you'll watch it and you kind of watch all the teams. In baseball, you get very attached to your own team.
Yeah.
You know, you watch your own team, you know, at least me, probably over 100 times a year. It's like almost every night you're flipping on your team and you get very attached to the players. And it sort of mirrors life, right? It's like you can, you know, a great team that finishes in first place can go on a 3-game losing streak and lose 6-0 to the White Sox. And, you know, that's life, isn't it, right? Anyone could have a bad day. It doesn't mean that you're not successful in the long run. And, you know, these are the great things about baseball. And You know, I've been calling for over a decade on The Fan. Never said this on air, but I am a I'm a high school teacher, and one of the things I always say to my students is that baseball is very much like a long school year, right? It's like there are ups and downs. You'll get good grades, you get bad grades, but it's how you do overall, right? And having more good days than bad days is how you, be a successful person, whether it's in school or in life or on the baseball field.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for the call, Ben. I agree with you. Ben, listen, and baseball's not unique in that where you can learn life lessons from it. I think that's why athletics are important for children, because you can learn life lessons from almost all sports, really. Competition just breeds that kind of those lessons out of you. But yeah, baseball is, right, for all of its non-contact, they're not as tough as hockey players, they're not as tough as football players. All they do is stand there, they don't have to be as athletic, blah, 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 blah. It is a grind. It's 162, it's every night, it's the amount of travel that they do. Like, and just for me, yeah, it's every night. That's what I love about it. It's every night. Every night there's a result. Every night there's a post game. Every night there's something new going on with the team. Other unique things of baseball that, obviously no clock and the defense holds the ball. Those are the two unique things about baseball. But baseball is my favorite. I think you get more connected. I don't think there's any doubt. Like, you can love your Giants or you can love your Jets. You can love your Knicks, there's no doubt. But if you love your baseball team, you get a deeper connection with that baseball team than you will with any other sport because of the nature of every night. And because you watch that guy fail, or like basketball, you can say, oh, fight through a screen, or he should have done this, or, like, it's not as clear cut. Like, you could say, oh, blown coverage. Well, whose fault was that? And you might think but then the coach will come out and go, actually, it was like baseball, there is no doubt. Here's the pitcher. There's the hitter. This guy sucks. This guy came through. I can't believe he swung at that. Like, there are immediate results. We watch each player go through it. There's less strategy necessarily to it. It's just straight up hitter versus pitcher. We watch it. And I love that. I love the individualism of this team sport. That's what I love about it too. Like, so, but it's every day. That's the main thing. The main thing is I feel like I'm on a journey with them. Other seasons are long, but football, for example, like, it's once a week. And the minute for me, like, say the Giants play at 1 o'clock, as much as I love the Giants, I'll go, and as much as I do this for a living, I'll go back and watch the post game later. As soon as the 1 o'clock game's over, I'm flipping to 4 o'clock. And I'm flipping to the other games at 4 o'clock and watching the other games. It's not like that with baseball. Football, I sit on the couch all day long. The second the Giants are over, I'm on to my fantasy team. I'm on to, whatever the 4 o'clock game is. I'm waiting all day for Sunday night. All that stuff. Where baseball, when's the Yankee game on and the Yankee game's over? That's it. And it's every night. We watch the post game. That's what I love about baseball. You're super connected to your team if you follow them every day. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Top of the hour. We'll come back. Continue to take your phone calls. Get maybe a little bit more into the Russ situation. A little bit more into the Knicks as they're dealing with injuries after a tough loss against the Clippers last night. And, of course, we'll have a little bit more fun with baseball as we will turn the clock to Thursday. And opening day is here. So we'll have a little fun. We'll do some over-unders. And we'll take your calls all the way to 2 o'clock. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Be right back.